Top of the morning, everyone. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Oh, listen up. It's time for Jesus to be on the air. Isn't this wonderful?
Oh, and that's that old Irishman.
Oh, my name is McNamara. I am the leader of the band. What's your name?
And my name is Antonio, and I'm a straight from Ireland.
And H-A-R-R-I-G-A-N. Spells, is that my name? Is my name? I lost track of my name. Is my name McNamara? No. Harrigan? No. Oh, I'm Palmer.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Palmer. You're Dr. Palmer, oh. And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
Yes, we do.
Right?
Indubitably.
And right after the song, I got breaking news, so
uh-oh.
Let me talk, okay?
Uh-oh.
Right after the song. All right,
uh-oh.
There, old
what
Irishman.
Song? Is there a song?
Oh, poor Al. I love you, Al.
Al. You know, if he sang with a brogue, we could let him play.
Okay, but, so okay. Here we are.
Okay, good.
Happy St. Paddy's Day, everyone. And don't worry, we'll be off the air by the time the St. Paddy's Day parade is going to start at 11, and we're running on from 10 to 11. So stay tuned and don't leave. And we got some breaking news, Palmer.
We do?
Oh, my Lord. Tim changed our website. He changed the connection. From now on, if you want to go out to a website, it's so simple. You put LISTEN dash. That's minus sign, right? up.net. LISTEN-up.net. And bingo, you're on a beautiful new website.
Are you paying for that commercial?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. You know,
but
we never know.
So are you, Palmer. This is our Listen Up website. It is gorgeous.
Okay.
Okay? And also, you ought to know, our fan club is up to 7 members.
Wow.
And we're getting there.
Wow.
If you want to join the fan club, go onto our website and put contact and tell them you want to join our fan club, and bingo, you'll be on it.
And you're not the only one with an announcement.
Oh, he always had. Okay.
A week ago, Dr. Tony Schiffo and myself were interviewed by Monsignor Vlorn on Telecare. And if you want to see the two kids who love Jesus, you can watch the Good News program of Monsignor Vlorn beginning
at
March 31st,
right?
All that week. And whenever Good News is on, you'll see us two young spring chickens talking about our radio program.
Yes, and you're going to see how good-looking we are. And by the way, that's at 8 o'clock. It's March 31st. That's Easter Sunday night at 8 p.m. is the first show. And then it'll be going on continuously every day, all week long.
Yeah.
And they used makeup on us, and we came out pretty good. Right?
Well, they had to use putty to cover my cracks, but otherwise it was okay.
Oh, by the way, I introduced ourselves, but we're better known now. We have a new name. I don't know. You heard our new name?
No.
We're the two cranky apostles. Okay, let's go. Let's introduce our guest, because she is full with the Holy Spirit. Unbelievable.
Well, this is the year of faith. And a good part of the year of faith is to link Mary to your development in your relationship with Jesus, because everyone in this year of faith is being called to go to Jesus through Mary. And Tina Marie Alexio is here with us, and she has a project that fits right in to the year of faith. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tina.
Top of the morning, Tina.
Great.
Top. You have to say the top of the morning. Oh, my name is Mac. No. Oh, no. Tell us about Mary and the year of faith.
Mary and the year of faith is a beautiful title of an event that I am honored to help the Montfort missionaries provide. April 27th, Saturday, April 27th, at the Bayshore Center, the Montfort Fathers, Father Hugh Gillespie, is going to offer an event, a workshop on the true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
And, of course, Father Hugh is the person who's written the book preparing for the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yes.
Both Tony and I have gone through that, and we
love it. It's wonderful. It really is.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes. So, As a member of the Legion of Mary, I'm the vice president of the Ave Maria Presidium of the Legion of Mary at Infant Jesus. What that means is in my parish, we have a small group of Legionnaires. And we're one of about 60 that are currently on Long Island in the Rockville Center Diocese. We have a very strong Korean Korean couriers in Nassau. About 25 parishes have Legion of Marys in the Korean community. And the English and Spanish-speaking communities of Long Island have about 30 English-speaking Presidiums. And the nomenclature, we were talking about that earlier. I have to clarify that. With the Legion of Mary, we are based on the Roman system of the military.
Yeah.
We are a legion, and we are a military, and we are the church militant.
And you are men and women.
Men and women, yes.
The reason why I emphasize 50-50. Men, my brother was so active in the Legion of Mary for years, and they had men from St. Anne's Parish going out doing all sorts of wonderful things.
Yeah.
So it's not, listeners, it's not just for women. It's men and women to join God's army of souls.
Yes, yes.
Good.
We do the spiritual works of mercy out there in the world, and we do them in union with Mary, our Blessed Mother. So whether we be male or female is regardless, because we all have the mission of bringing Jesus.
So this blue army, so to speak, it's spread throughout the world?
Yeah, but don't confuse it with the blue army.
I know, that's what I'm trying to ascertain.
Yeah. The Blue Army is a different apostolate. That's the World Apostolate of Fatima Blue Army. They're a different apostolate that I am involved with too. I'm a prayer cell leader for the Blue Army. Yeah. But back to the Legion of Mary, what we are is we're both a contemplative and active Catholic organization, and it's of equal importance. The primary thing for to be a Legion of Mary member is your sanctification. We make saints. That's what we're about. We're about bringing ourselves closer to Jesus, and we do that through Mary in the Legion. But in addition to that, we are called not only to gather once a week. In order to be a member of the Legion of Mary, you must be have that courage and discipline to make the meetings weekly. It's a sacrifice.
Is this done the first Saturday of the month?
No.
No?
Okay. No. We meet once a week, and my church happens to meet on the first Saturday. Right now, our Legion meeting is going on at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning. But They go on all hours of the week on different parishes.
And it's prayerful. The meeting is prayerful.
Yes. What we do is we pray the rosary first. There are prayers that we pray through, and we discuss business in that we discuss what we're going to do out there in the world to serve Jesus and Mary. And we make our reports. The foundation of the Legion truly is going out there and bringing Jesus to people. Door-to-door evangelization was the way that it started in Ireland almost 100 years ago. And home visitations, that's the primary work of the Legion, but it's not limited there because in all sorts of environments we can bring Jesus to people. For instance, I'm a hospice volunteer, and that happens to be my Legion work that I'm called to. I bring the Eucharist to hospice patients, and I spend company with people in hospice, and that's a Legion work. Other people have different ministries, like prison visitations.
And it's something that's revealed to them in prayer, right? And they God leads them into their ministries.
Yes, God leads them, and they're led through the Legion Presidium in that the officers assign work, actually.
Okay.
We assign work to our Legionnaires. So in the Rockville Center Diocese, we need to build up a little more. So that's why we're planning this event on April 27th, where the Montfort Fathers
are doing an event?
An event, a big event. A big event to help bring the Legion together, to help unite the Legion of Mary. But it's not closed to the Legion of Mary, this event. It's open to the public. It's the teaching of the true devotion, because that's the foundation of our spirituality. St. Louis Maria de Montfort's book, True Devotion, is the foundation of the Legion of Mary.
Now, this Spirit. Event actually starts on the 26th, doesn't it? With adoration?
Yes. Yep.
And then it runs into the 27th.
It's a four-day event.
It's a four-day event.
Yeah, Friday evening at the Bayshore Center. There'll be Eucharistic adoration, benediction, and Father Hugh will give an introductory talk. And the main event is on Saturday from 9 to 4. And it's going to be breakfast, a lunch included, $15 per person. And Father Hugh will lead us in the rosary and also give us a few talks, and there'll be a crowning of Mary as well.
Mm-hmm.
And weaves throughout the day in teaching the true devotion, Father Hugh is going to help Legionnaires understand who they are, what they are, and what their apostolate is, and help them communicate more effectively with others in the community, as well as their own pastors, to get the pastors more involved with the Legion, because we're here to serve our pastors, to be an extension of their heart and hands.
Wonderful.
We're a very powerful organization in that I look at us a little bit as an unopened gift, often sitting on the pastor's desk. And the pastors often don't realize what they have. Now, 20, 30 years ago, there were three, four presidiums in a given parish. Like Father Pagano, was it at St. Jude's in Mastic Beach? He had about four presidiums going at one time. And he was working people for him, and it was vibrant. And now they're down to one presidium with only a few people. And or trying to engage
but
the pastor to
go
get them rolling.
And to go that way, and your this day sounds so important because it's going to light a fire, not only on Legion groups, but on anyone who may be interested in learning about the Legion.
Mary and the Year of Faith, learning about our Blessed Mother. Devotion to our Blessed Mother is not a quaint little option. Unfortunately, how it's been swept aside in the minds of many Catholics over the past few years. Devotion to Mary in this year of faith is a powerful vehicle.
Absolutely. But doesn't this also involve the consecration, consecrating yourselves to Mary?
And
maybe you can talk a little bit about that. By the way, this affair ends on Monday night, doesn't it? So it's a four-day thing?
It's a four-day
It ends on the 27th,
event.
I think?
Yes. On Sunday, we have our annual Accius, which is a mass wherein the members of the Legion of Mary renew their legionary promise.
So to attend this, they don't have to be members yet. An outsider could come
absolutely.
And get hit with the Holy Spirit and then maybe want to join?
We welcome anyone and everyone to come and witness what it is, first and foremost, what the true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary is, and Mary in your faith.
Yes.
And from there, you will learn things about the Legion of Mary, and why you might be interested in seeing into this organization, male or female, and the consecration.
Right.
That's the other thing.
And you know, the other thing that's so simple, even beyond the Legion of Mary, I'm sorry, is the Montfort Center itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Bayshore,
mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful center, and that chapel is the most beautiful chapel I've ever been in, with the Spirit hanging
Holy
from
Spirit.
The ceiling, and you have the First Order relic of St. Louis de Montfort right there, and you can walk up to it and bring it to your heart and ask him to intercede for you. You know, he was quite a missionary.
Yes, he was. But let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Why Mary? Why should we all turn to Mary?
Why did the Eternal Father turn to Mary?
Good answer. Great answer. And you know
Jesus
turned to Mary. And anything that Mary proposes, our blessed Jesus, our Savior, and our Creator, don't refuse her.
If Mary is good enough for the Eternal Father and for the Holy Spirit and for Jesus, then why wouldn't she be good enough for
us? Absolutely, 100%.
He condescended to come to us through the pure vessel of Mary.
And there's nothing and they will refuse of Mary.
And if we're going to imitate Jesus truly, why not imitate him from the very beginning, from the incarnation, from when God entered the womb of Mary in utter dependence on Mary? What's to stop us from saying, Blessed Mother, I choose to be utterly dependent on you.
Yeah.
Take me as your holy slave into your womb. Let me imitate Christ to that extent. That's the depth.
We don't worship Mary, but she's our venue to Jesus, and she's our venue to our Heavenly Father.
But you know, you guys are talking about Mary, and I want our listeners to know Mary is here in this room.
Absolutely.
And she's leading us. So I want, Trevor, I would want us to take a moment and say, Hail Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hail Mary.
Wonderful
listen
Palmer.
To the song. Teach us love. this album is from Father Charles Mangano and Laurie Mangano, and they have a beautiful album called The Scriptural Rosary, and they go through all the mysteries of the rosary and intersperse their music beautifully. You can get it from materdei.org or call Father Charles's parish, the Curia of Oz in Merrick.
Is that a paid commercial?
No, that's a commercial of praise.
I saw Father Charles. I love him. I saw him last week, and I told him we mentioned his name constantly.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to think this is the Father Charles hour.
Well, the music on the show is from that album.
It's great. I love him.
That's the Medjugorje String Quartet playing as well.
Gentle woman, quiet light, morning star, so strong and bright. Gentle mother, peaceful dove, teach us wisdom. Teach us love.
And you know, whenever you stop and pay tribute to Mary, you get peace. Peace in your heart and your soul. You feel it.
Absolutely, because she's our mother.
That's right.
Don't we all get peace when we talk to our mother and we got advice from our mother?
And any time you're in trouble, go to your mother and she'll pick you up and hug you and bring you close to her immaculate heart.
Can I share something with you?
Sure.
Someone asked me, how come you always have the rosary wrapped around your hand when you talk? I'm going to share to you why. Because in my feeling that when I call on Mary and I wrap the rosary around my hand, she's there holding my hand in difficult times. And the show was a difficult time, and so I wrapped the rosary around my hand. Right. And if you watch us on TV, you'll see I have a white rosary wrapped around my hand. That's because I asked the Blessed Mother to hold my hand during the show.
And what I like is when you're close to her Immaculate Heart, she leads you right into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yes. And through him, devotion to the Eucharist.
Absolutely. So if you want to hold the Blessed Mother's hand, just put the rosary around your hand, and she'll be there holding your hand.
Tina, tell us more about what you are doing.
Oh, well, this ties so beautifully into what you've been very outspoken about. You gentlemen have been talking about the consecration, the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, as taught by St. Louis Marie de Montfort.
It's wonderful.
Now, the last program that I was on back in January, I made the big announcement that the Legion of Mary was going to facilitate group consecrations all over Long Island. Woohoo! Well,
you're now, another Palmer.
I was crazy enough to go for this, and I had all the green lights. And praise God, Father Hugh Gillespie did intercede, or should I say Our Lady interceded through Father Hugh Gillespie, who said to me, whoa, before you swing for the fences, Tina Marie, and try to inspire the entire Legion of Mary in Long Island to host group consecrations, first and foremost, there is a very big difference between a group consecration and a parish consecration. Ultimately, what you want is for your pastor to be on board and to have a parish consecration. Whole different thing. Now, I understood that, and he said, look, what I'll do for you is, he had the Bayshore Center set aside for himself for some use. He was going to use it, wasn't sure what, but he said, this is what I'll do. I will give you this weekend in late April to the Legion of Mary to teach the foundation of the consecration, which is the true devotion. Now, this is so important because before we go sending out legionnaires to try to teach the consecration, first they need to learn it for themselves and for anyone to have a fighting chance, quite honestly, to live their consecration. If they don't go to the foundation and study the true devotion, it's not going to stick very long. You know, it's like painting your house and slapping on the paint. That's not how you paint your house. You have to strip it down, lay the foundation, and then the paint will have a chance to adhere. It's the same with the consecration. And whether or not, let's say you've consecrated already, or our listeners made their consecration years ago, it's never too late, and it's not a one-shot deal. The study of the true devotion is incumbent upon us. It's like living scripture. It is inspired work. So whether you've ever read the book or not before in the past, doesn't matter. You owe it to yourself, and if you're really trying to live the consecration, or you want to learn about the consecration, whatever door you're entering into this through, coming to this event on April 27th would be very helpful, particularly to the Legionnaire. And I have to mention that right now I'm making visitations to all the Legion of Marys on Long Island, inspiring people to come to the event. And some feel like, oh, you're trying to push me into doing the consecration. No, we're not trying to railroad anyone into making this 33-day consecration. Mm-hmm. As a Legionnaire, every Legion of Mary member makes what they call the Legionary Promise. And in this beautiful promise, which we renew once a year, you can compare it this way. The consecration is the renewal of baptismal vows. The Legionary Promise is actually the renewal of your vows in confirmation. So if you look at those two sacraments and how powerful they are, the Legion of Mary is a military. We are with the church militant. We're organized, we're disciplined, and we've made this Legionary Promise, which is rooted in the true devotion. It's rooted in the true devotion, and so is the consecration. Mm-hmm. So whether or not a soul is interested or in the Legion of Mary or not, doesn't matter. You know, this true devotion and devotion to our Lady in the year of faith is for everybody. Our doors are wide open.
You know, I really want that connection between what you're doing on April 27th and the men's group of Long Island.
Yes.
Because the men will be real soldiers, and the Knights of Columbus will join that army as well. I like that. I know Father Hughes says don't go for a home run. No, I'll go for a touchdown. I want to win the game, and I want everybody in it.
The men group is a viable organization to hit. You should hit them. And also, by the way, speaking of Knights of Columbus, they are going to be guests. The state deputy will be a guest on our show in May.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see about
that. Excellent.
Well, now, if someone wants to just get the consecration of Mary, how do they do? What do they do? How do they get the book? I mean, there are people out there that want to get consecrated to Mary, I'm sure.
Right.
What are they going to do? How are they going to do it?
Well, Montfort Publications, located in Bayshore, anyone can reach out to Montfort Publications. We will be set up that day on April 27th to the public to sell the book recently written by Father Hugh, the 33 Days Consecration. Help me here.
You're going to ask, how can someone get the book, or how can someone become consecrated to Mary? There are people that are so devoted to Mary, they don't even know about the consecration.
The book is on Amazon.com.
Okay, so, and by the way, the book is not just a book with literature in it, it's an exercise.
Yes, yeah.
Every day is a different exercise. So when you consecrate yourself to Mary, you work at consecration.
I'm glad you brought that up, because St. Louis Marie de Montfort never wrote a formula to follow through the 33 mm-hmm. days. And over the years, the Montfort Fathers and other organizations as well have written books on the 33-day consecration. The one rooted with the Montfort Fathers, however, is very true to the true devotion, in that they don't use inclusive language, they don't water down the terminology. It is a holy slavery,
right.
to the love of Mary,
yes.
And that's not easy for people to accept on the surface, but it's worth delving into. And this is another reason to go to the workshop on the 27th, because you'll get a deeper understanding of that terminology.
But once someone drills into it, Mary's there helping them along, pushing them through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not difficult. It's just actually consecrating yourself strictly to Mary and surrendering to Mary.
to
so
Mary.
To speak.
Yes. To Jesus through
to
Mary.
To Jesus through Mary.
It's always to Jesus through Mary. She's not the ultimate end of our devotions.
And this is the Montfort spirituality. Talk about the flag you brought here
today. Oh, the Vendée flag is so exciting. Well, I will mention that infant Jesus, oh my goodness, we're just so, so happy that we're able to honor the Montfort Fathers by dedicating our parish center to St. Louis Marita Montfort. We've called it Montfort Hall. And it's a gallery that's open to the public now. I might be speaking too soon, but we're going to try to have hours every Sunday morning between 8 and 1 where you can come into the foyer area, and it's a beautiful gallery of all of the Montfort Fathers that have been in our parish. They established Infant Jesus in 1903, and they were there until 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're steeped in that history. And in the showcase, I was able to find a flag of the Vendée and put it there. And it has so much significance because what it is a flag of the Sacred Hearts. And St. Louis Marita Montfort had tremendous devotion, clearly, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he was able to do his mission in the Vendée region of France under this flag because St. Margaret Mary Alico, who preceded him, was able to establish devotion to the Sacred Heart. And at that time, Montfort was fighting the Jansenist heresy, who they scoffed at devotion to the Sacred Heart. They felt that no one was entitled to be so intimate with God. The Jansenists were very harsh. They felt you could receive Eucharist only once a year, and you couldn't be so intimate as to receive Jesus' heart in that way. And St. Margaret Mary Alico succeeded in establishing that devotion in that region, and that's what Montfort was able to build upon, because those people had that devotion. Devotion to the Eucharist.
And it's the direct opposite of what Bishop Murphy is talking about, the Jansenisms, because he's saying, I want you to belong more deeply to Jesus, and through Mary, yes, and through the Eucharist. That's what the bishop of our diocese is all about.
Yes.
And that's what he's calling us to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, you know what? There is a certain amount of surrender, Trevor, that we're going to ask people to surrender with Mary right now.
See, I tried to lead into your song. I knew it was surrender.
This is again Father Charles and Laurie.
This is the Father Charles Hour.
And my spirit. Thank you.
commit yourself to following Mary. You're joining her army of love. And through Mary, she'll lead you to Jesus and a devotion to the Eucharist and the ability, give you the ability to evangelize others. That's what I love about the Legion of Mary. You don't sit back and let God do it. You let God use you, and that's what it's about.
Yes.
And I may be pushing.
Very good, Bosco. Very good.
I may be pushing too hard.
Very good, Palmer.
But, you know, hey, it's time right. to sign up. But this is not a temporary assignment. This is lifelong.
Yes.
Lifelong.
And isn't Mary lifelong in our lives?
Of course.
So you're right.
You know, you were talking about Don Bosco earlier. And you said he had a dream. What was his dream?
Well, wait.
No. Let her tell the dream. We're going to get to you. We know.
Oh, okay. Be patient. Don't trump me here, Palmer.
Go ahead.
Prophetic dreams of Saint Don Bosco. The one prophetic dream that I think about, I ponder quite often, is the dream wherein he saw the Pope, our Holy Pope, on a ship in a raging battle, and I don't remember the details of the story to give you, but the ultimate, the idea of the dream was that there were two pillars in which he was able to bring the ship to safety, and the pillars were Mary and the Eucharist, or shall I say the Eucharist, the larger pillar, and Mary, where he was able to anchor the ship to safety. And the reason that I ponder that dream so often is because I know that that's my mission. What I've been blessed to do at Infant mm-hmm. Jesus, my parish in Port Jeff, is to really bring forward these devotion to our Lady and devotion to the Eucharist, which is it's just so powerful, so inspiring.
It's true. It's what Pope Francis did. The very first day after he was made Pope, he got in his car with his little white beanie on and went to the hotel, got his luggage, paid his bill, and went over and prayed before the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And his devotion to the Eucharist. So there's Don Bosco's dream. Now, people may want to know, who is this Don Bosco?
Well, contrary to popular belief, I'm not going to do St. Patrick. I'm going
okay.
to do Don Bosco. But
wonderful.
I just want to say about St. Patrick that he was not born in Ireland. He was probably born in England or Scotland. But he did spend 30 years in Ireland creating and building the Christian faith, building churches, evangelizing, building monasteries, and he was a popular force in Ireland. So
I'm glad you're not going to do St.
Okay?
Patrick.
All right, so let's get on to John Bosco. You know what? This was a tough decision. John Bosco, St. Patrick, St. Francis of Assisi, but Don Bosco, as I'm thinking about it, all ties in together with the Holy Father, the Pope Francis. Because I understand that when he was just elected Pope the other day, one of the cardinals went over to him and says, "Don't forget the poor." And thus, we decided on John Bosco. Let me tell you a little bit of something about him. Early one December day in the year 1841, a young priest was about to take the service in the church in the Italian city. And from the back of the church, he heard a rough, mean voice of the caretaker talking to a little boy and says, "What are you doing here? If you don't want to come to Mass, get out." And so John Bosco heard it. And the priest heard the timid boy's voice reply, "It's cold out there. That doesn't mean you can come in. Get out and be quick about it," the caretaker said. The priest, of course, whose name was John Bosco, called to the sexton, "Joseph, what are you doing? Call that boy back." With a few tempered mutterings, good old Joseph went outside and eventually persuaded the nervous boy, shivering, to stand in front of John Bosco. Stay for Mass, John says. The priest said gently, and we can talk later. The youth's name was Bartholomew Garelli. He was 16, an orphan, and he was helping a bricklayer in return for a few coins to eat and to get shelter. Where do you live, Bartholomew? In an attic, he said, alone with some other guys. Can you read and write? The boy shook his head. I don't know anything. I can't do anything. I can't read and I can't write. He had been a farm boy and had never been to school. His parents were both dead and he'd come to the city looking for work. John Bosco knew there was thousands of boys like this in one Turin. The lucky ones, like Bartholomew, had somewhere to sleep. The others slept in the doorways and begged for food and begged for money. Literally, they were poor. And this is what our Holy Father is consecrating his pontiff to, the poor. Bart, would you like to learn to read if I were to teach you? I suppose so, he said. When you come, bring your friends. This had been John Bosco's dream for a long time. He wanted to help feed and teach the street boys. By February, 20 boys were coming to his classes. By March, 30. 2 years later, there were 400 that were coming to him. Is that evangelizing or what? Is that doing Jesus' work or what? Is that feeding the poor or what? Is that clothing the poor? I'll say. Meantime, it was hard to find a suitable meeting place. They tried meeting in a public park, and they could not play and talk, and then go to a service in a nearby church. Local people complained about the noise and called the police. They weren't thinking too much about the poor, I guess. Then people started saying, Don Bosco must be a madman. Don was a little often given to priest. Why don't you cut down the number of boys, they said. Ask and limit yourself to 20 or so of the best behaved ones. Don Bosco, you speak to 20 boys when I see thousands, he said. I dream of a huge school with beautiful buildings, large courtyards, a magnificent church. I picture classrooms, training shops, where the boys can learn and trade and not be poor anymore. I even see some of them becoming priests themselves. Word then spread that Don Bosco was indeed a madman. He would be taken away for a few weeks' rest in a mental asylum. Two priests went in their house, drawn carriages to his house. Join us for a ride, Don, one of them said. Willingly, Don Bosco replied. But first, he went on, I have a plan I should like to discuss with you. Not again, you madman. And he began to tell them his dream of starting an order, a bit like the orders in which monks lived for the boys. Let's talk about this while we're riding around the city, said one of the priests. Of course, Don Bosco replied. Get into the carriage, then, they said. You first, please. You're the most important than I am, he told them. Doesn't that mirror our new pope? You're most important than I am? Didn't he say something like that? No sooner were they seated in the coach than he slammed the door shut and called to the driver. To the asylum at once. These two gentlemen are expected there. Later, Don Bosco's mother came to visit him to help him run a boarding house to shelter some of the boys. Gradually, dormitories were found that the rest could live safely. The city authorities recognized the good work of John Bosco, and he was going to help him, and they were going to help him to continue this work of mercy, of helping the poor. And this was the image. It is the image of our new Holy Father.
Yeah.
And that's my story of Don Bosco there, Palmer.
And he was a dreamer.
He was.
But you have to have dreams to have them come true.
Listen.
And so... at Tina Marie told us about his dream.
Listening to you, I feel like you're telling me about the story of Father Frank Pizzarelli, Montfort missionary with Hope House, and the extraordinary apostolate that he has in helping young men, drug and alcohol addicted young
Absolutely.
Men.
But isn't this so Holy Spiritishly that we were undecided who I gave a choice of three that we would do before the show, and we and you all decided on Don Bosco? I mean, and doesn't it bespeak our new Holy Father, the Pope, so wonderful in
yes.
his mission?
And you know, the Holy Father stood against all the culture of death, and he was banished out to the northern part of Argentina, mm-hmm. and he taught high school math
yes.
just to survive.
Yes.
And you know who saved him? Pope John Paul II came in and pulled him back into the mainstream of the church and made him an archbishop and then a cardinal. Mm-hmm. And he's a protege of Pope John
yes,
Paul
yes,
II.
Yes. yes, but...
Who had a tremendous devotion to Mary.
Right. But he elected, I also understand, he elected to live in this little small apartment. He didn't have servants. Yeah. He did his own cooking. Mm-hmm. He's so humble.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Maybe, like when I first saw him, I saw him on my cell phone, by the way, when they elected him. He looked to me like a very lovable, humble person. He depicted Jesus in so many ways. So anyway...
But he's also a top-flight administrator.
Oh, he has very good. He has terrific
has a mission.
Yes.
He has a mission.
Yes.
And he will do his mission.
Yes.
Because we know he's dedicated to Mary
mm-hmm.
and to the Eucharist.
Why not? He was selected by the Holy Spirit and Jesus and our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
How can the people register for that day? On April 27th.
On April 27th, the event at the Bayshore Center, the Montfort Spiritual Center, you can call the Montfort Spiritual Center at 631-666-7500.
Oh, what a number. Repeat that number,
six,
will you?
631-666-7500. Yes. And you'll be referred to me, actually. I'm not going to give my cell phone number over
there. No. That's not a good idea.
You'll be getting hundreds of calls.
I am handling the registration for the day of that event. But I just wanted to mention one coincidence with St. Don Bosco, which I love. His feast day is January 31st.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that is the birthday of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. So I love that connection between Don Bosco and Montfort, Father de Montfort, St.
Right.
Louis Marie de Montfort.
Another thing about John Bosco, he wasn't afraid of upsetting people in authority over him. If
he was politically incorrect?
Yeah, if it would help him do good and help the poor.
Yes, yes.
He did anything that he had to do to help the poor. And this was a great selection.
Mm. Well, you know, we've spent the whole show talking about Mary and the Legion of
yes.
Mary and about Don Bosco and even about our Pope and his devotion
yes,
to Mary.
And the poor.
And we have so many petitions
oh,
that we need to pray for.
And they're growing every week. Look at the envelope. Look at
yeah.
the
But I want to add a petition. I want us to pray for the success of the Mary and the Year of Faith at the Montfort Center the weekend of April 26th through Monday. Because it's in my heart right now that rallying the Legion of Mary to come to the forefront with their commitment to service to the people of God and even the people who have lost sight of God. That dedication, that devotion is like a fire. And the other day in prayer, I had the vision of the Holy Spirit as the bellows of the fire of the love of God. So I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit get going and rev up those bellows of fire and get those hearts that are sitting home on a couch, twiddling their thumbs and listening. Oh, isn't that nice? They're calling other people to do things. No, we're not. We're calling you, lazy bones, We're calling you.
And Mrs. Holy Spirit is calling you too.
That's right.
Yes, but don't misunderstand us, audience. We're not calling you guys and gals lazy bones. We
yes,
love
I
this.
Am. I'm calling them spiritually so lazy.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening.
No, but you know, and the reason why the Spirit is involved, it's my belief that Mary is the very first charismatic. She said yes and got filled with the Holy Spirit and physically gave birth to Jesus in the world of man. And that's what God's calling all of us. Be like Mary. Open yourself to the will of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, complete the mission that has been given to us. Bring all Catholics and non-Catholics who believe and those who don't believe to belong to Jesus more deeply. That's the way we're going to defeat the culture of death that's all over the world. And start it right here on Long Island.
And remember those magic words that she said, fiat, let it be.
Let it be according to your will.
In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph.
Yes, it will.
Yes.
So we're praying, and I know I get a little, the bellows are going very big in me right now, but I get a little bit of fire in my guts because I'm saying, you know, there's nobody else that can make this happen but you, me, you, Tina, Trevor, and everybody and who is listening to us right now. You open yourself to the fire of the Holy Spirit, you're becoming God's change agent on the island. And that's what we need. And men, we went to your conference last week, beautiful conference, and you heard wonderful stories about men whose lives were changed. Well, you can write your own story. You can join the crusade to bring the young people back through Mary, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus. And we're praying for that now.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I know that's different than the usual lovely prayers that we say for healing. But this is fire time. And this is Palmer's version of a fireside chat.
And we took the tape off Palmer's mouth.
Yeah, you did it. You made that big mistake. And you set me loose. And I come out and I
Trevor, get the tape out.
Ever, ever stop telling people, stand up and be counted. It's time. You know, when is God coming back? God's back. He's in you. Let him out. Let him out. And come on out of the cage that you put yourself in where you are timid Catholics. Catholicism is not a timid religion. It's an aggressive religion. God does not sit upstairs and look down and say, I'll wait till they die and I'll judge them. God is saying, I thirst for you. I thirst for you. Get on fire. Get on fire. And bring the message of salvation through Mary, through Jesus, through the Eucharist, to all of Long Island. Talk to your pastors about coming to this day in May. Talk to your parish priest to come to this day in April, not May, April 27th. Get them on fire.
There's an evening session that I didn't mention, very important. An evening session on Saturday, April 27th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's a closed session for priests, deacons, and religious. There's no obligation to actually join the Legion of Mary, but any priest, religious, or deacon that wants to come to this event that evening, there's no fee. We'll have wine and cheese, some pastries and coffee.
So there's no fee for anyone, or just
no,
priests or deacons?
For the daytime.
How about radio show host?
But you know, we're going to close.
I'm catering it, so the food's going to be good.
We're going to close with Father Charles and Laurie singing, Hail, Holy Queen, enthroned above. That's what we want in your hearts.
Absolutely.
Oh, Mary.
Queen of mercy and of love.
Tina, we want to thank you for being with us and telling us about this very exciting day.
And you have to come back, Tina, and you have to tell us about your life. Okay. Thank you, listeners. We love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And listeners, we love you. We pray for you. And we thank you for listening.
Amen. See you next week.
Pray for
you. Your son.